visit choosenissan.com. Test drive at your local Nissan dealer today. And we're live here at SUNY Cortland. Eric Allen alongside Jets head coach Rex Ryan. Rex, good morning. Thanks for joining us. A progress report on your team after 4 days of practice.
Well, it is only 4 days, but I've seen a lot of positive things. I like the tempo of our offense probably more than anything. And I think that, you know, it's great for both sides of the ball. I think we'll be a team that's in shape. Sometimes when you go into it and you only have the one practice, you want to make sure your team's in football shape and all that. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to play football. But with only the one practice, you're a little nervous about it. But I think we will definitely be a team that'll be in shape.
We're going to get back to tempo here in a bit, the offensive tempo. But what about the significance of getting away, getting upstate to Cortland, New York, away from the facility, away from the families, away from the distractions?
I think originally when I proposed the idea to Mike T and to Mr. Johnson, it was the fact that you are exactly right. I mean, you get away from your comforts, you know, the comforts of family, friends, normal surroundings, everything else, and you come up to upstate New York, and it's far enough away where nobody really visits. You know, the green and white scrimmage maybe, but that's about it. And you just have each other. It's football, and you have each other. And what I've noticed is that the team, the first 2 years, we were much closer than the team last year. And I think Cortland's a big reason.
Take me inside the meeting room Thursday night when you address that team for the first time, really the first time here in 2012.
Basically, it was just to show them a blueprint that we've always had. And what I feel is important and what I feel is can make the Jets successful. Why we would hire certain coaches, you know, everything. I wanted them to understand that we had a plan in place and we are going to get back to that plan. When you have a chance to stop and, you know, what we can do better and all that, quite honestly, it's get back to the original plan. When you look at it offensively, kind of that ground and pound mentality. And with that, doesn't mean we're going to run every snap, but that other team has to respect the run. We have to do whatever it takes to get to that team to, you know, our opponent to respect the running game. I think, obviously, when you start with the offensive line, you have three Pro Bowl players in that offensive line, so that's a big help, big start. But I also think it's the mindset and the mentality you have on the outside. Your receivers have to block. I thought last year we weren't up to the standards we had set the two previous seasons.
Let's talk about your quarterback, Mark Sanchez. He seems different to me where he came to camp with an extra hop in his step, very confident. He's zipping the ball. We see the increased strength, but he's showing even more leadership skills, I think, here early.
I think you're right. Leadership starts with his everybody in the room understanding that Mark knows this offense forward and backwards. He knows it better than anybody on this team, obviously besides Tony and the coaches. But you could tell the preparation that he's done. I know his teammates appreciate it and they respect that. It's hard not to. And then from a physical, you know, maturation. And this guy, number one, he works his tail off to, you know, to be in the best shape he can be in. He is in the best shape he's ever been in. He's stronger. He's got a perfect FMS score, which is functional movement screen. The guy's an excellent athlete. He's in great shape, you know, mentally, physically. This is the best he's ever been.
All right, we're taking fan questions here, Rex. And you know a lot of fans in Jets Nation and across the world want to know about number 15, Tim Tebow. This one comes from Corey, who is on Facebook. What are your plans with Tebow if you're not going to start him?
Well, we're not going to start him as the quarterback. You know, he's not going to be our starter in that capacity. Clearly, Mark is our quarterback. We've said that from day one. I'm excited about Tim. Right now, we haven't put in any wildcat plays or anything like that. And I know that's going to be a big part of what we do offensively. And quite honestly, Tony is a guy that, that brought the Wildcat to the National Football League. I've always been a big advocate of the Wildcat. I believe it hurt us last year when we weren't able to really run a whole lot of Wildcat. We did a little with Jeremy Curley back there. But what Tim gives you is that presence. Obviously, he can throw the football, but he gives you that outside presence, which we had with Brad Smith and Jeremy for a little bit, can able to run the option and things. But he's also an inside runner, an inside power runner. And I think that's going to be a little different than even what we have with Brad.
And Tebow did have a better day at practice yesterday throwing the ball, but you do want the ball coming out more quickly. But one thing you stated all along, and I laugh about it because people ask me about it all the time, how's the quarterback competition going? Mark Sanchez is clearly the quarterback here. Yeah. Tony Sperano, you mentioned him. You've really enjoyed working with him, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. He was – he's terrific. The thing that you start with when you – build a coaching staff, you want guys with similar, you know, they understand your expectations, and you want to align yourself with like-minded people, and Tony's that guy. I mean, the first, you know, how much do we want to run the football? The first 22 plays that we had in pads were runs, 22 of them. And we haven't put our Wildcat stuff in yet.
So you love that, didn't you?
I did. And I think the reason I love it so much is it just tells you the mindset. And, you know, sure, it was, you know, would Mark Sanchez be like, are you kidding me? We're going to run 22 straight plays? The wide receiver said, yeah, you know, if that's what we decide to do, then that's exactly right. Sometimes we'll throw it a bunch. But that mentality, we have to get it back. We have to be able to run the football. We have to be able to protect the quarterback. And Tony talks about that all the time.
I'm going to get to your favorite side of the ball here in just 1 second, but I'm going to take a live question here from Twitter. This is coming from NF_06. How are you planning on utilizing Sean Green, coach? Will he be used as a feature back or the Jets rushing by committee?
He'll definitely be the feature back. He's a big guy that, you know, last year we kind of struggled to get our running game going early in the season, but I believe that won't be the case. I think we'll come out of the blocks running the football more efficiently than we did last year. And I think the big reason is the commitment that we're going to make and that we're demanding. We were probably more zone running last year than we will be this year. We'll obviously have the zone running in, but with us, it's base power and Boss, which is on the perimeter. A gap scheme, so you're running zone schemes and gap schemes.
Yeah, definitely more power running this year. And like you said, Sean Green is going to be the feature back, but mm-hmm. I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities for other guys because you guys are going to run the football a lot, so that means Joe McKnight, and one guy who's impressed me so far has been Bilal Powell. Let's move to defense, though. Mm-hmm. Muhammad Wilkerson, coach, what is the ceiling on this guy?
I have no idea what the ceiling is on him. He just keeps improving every day. I love the mentality he has. He takes the field trying to get better, and he knows competition is going to help him get better. And so when he's going up against somebody, it's full speed all the time. Not much different than Darrell Revis. Darrell Revis hits the field the same way, and we all know that Darrell, the entire league knows now that Darrell Revis is clearly the best corner in football. I think this young man right here, in time, you never know. He's certainly working at it. He's got the physical gifts. He's got the long wingspan that you want in a pass rusher. He's an all-around player. Can play the run and the pass. You can play him inside, outside, wherever you want, right, left. Makes no difference. He's just a heck of a football player.
And like you said, and I've been hearing this from the defensive coaches, this guy's a student of the game. He sits there in the meeting room. He's out there with the notebook. He's making notes because he wants to get better. He wants to get great. We got a great fan question from Sean coming up right here, Coach. This is coming from NewYorkJets.com. Was there already a plan to play more three before the draft, or did the fact that Quentin Coples was still there midway through the first round and he was too good to pass up be more the factor?
I tell you what, it's probably the Coples factor. Goes into it because as a coach, what you'll always do is find a way for your guys to be most successful. And if that means playing more 4-3 to get this young man on the field, then that's what we'll do, because I think he's a special talent. You know, clearly his head's spinning a little bit. We're asking him to do a lot of different things. But, you know, when we start snapping this thing up for real, this guy I think is going to be impressive.
I love that youth and athleticism up front, especially what you guys have done in the past two drafts and Big Mo. Kenrick Ellis has been really impressive. I know you love the spring he had. And then you add Copels now. You have so much depth up there. And people don't talk about it at home, but Mike DeVito's still here. Marcus Dixon's providing some inside pass rushing presence on those sub packages. And I know you have some young guys you like up there too.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you touched on, you know, Marcus Dixon is a is an explosive one-gap penetrator type athlete. So we've got everything. You got Sione Boha, you know, big anchor in there in the running game. Mike DeVito looks quicker to me than I've seen, more athletic, if that's possible. I know he's gone out, worked at it. I think Carl Dunbar's done a tremendous job with the entire unit. And I think we'll be able to rush the passer better. You've already seen that. You know, and when Carl was in Minnesota, clearly he had always had one of the top pass rushing units in the league. I think he brings that expertise to this football team.
Yeah, I know when folks at home are going to be charting the quarterbacks every play, every pass play they have. But if you come out to camp, please watch the defensive line. These guys get after the quarterback, and they're fun to watch. Let's talk about the back end here, Rex. We're going to take a fan question here from Kevin. It says, who's going to be the primary safety tandem? Obviously, you guys have brought in Jeremiah Bell. Mm. LaRon Landry starting to participate, which is a good sign as well.
When you come out to practice, the first two guys that are going to jump out at you are two new safeties, Jeremiah Bell and LaRon Landry. They're going to be the two that jump out at you. It's obvious you look at them from a physical stature, probably the two biggest safeties in the league. They put on the old, the all-gun team right there with their arms and stuff like that. Watch them play. I mean, they're exciting to watch. They can both run. They're both, strikers. And I think that's the thing. You combine that with Eric Smith's talent at the end of the year, played more snaps than anybody we had on the team. And I think that's and he was kind of run down at the end of the year, but we really had nobody else, and he just kept gutting it out. But Eric Smith's a fine football player as well. So those three guys, I think the perception out there was that was going to be a weakness of our football team. It may very well be our strength.
And you kind of look at it not as a top two, but like a top three, because the way people attack nowadays and how many receivers they're using is you're going to have to use everybody, right?
Absolutely, and I wouldn't be surprised to see those three out there for the majority of our defensive snaps.
Let's talk about some late-round picks, because we're talking about the top safeties on your team on top of the depth chart, mm-hmm. but you pick up some guys later in the draft, sixth-round Josh Bush, a kid from Wake Forest. He had six interceptions last year. Antonio Allen, a guy that some pundits thought he could be a third-round, second-round draft pick. You got it in the seventh round.
Right.
And just talk about the late draft picks in general, how you think they're doing. I know Antonio shined the other day, two interceptions in practice.
Right, he certainly did. We'll start with Antonio Allen. Here's a young man that's making the transition from being almost an outside linebacker at South Carolina, but he projects as a safety. There is going to be some learning, curves there. He's never done it, seeing things for the first time back there in that deep patrol. But what we drafted, when Mike and I looked at the tapes, it was like, this is a football player. And I remember watching an Auburn game. He had like two interceptions, like 22 tackles. It was like, this guy's all over the place. And he can blitz. He's got man cover skills, maybe a little different. He's more of an outside leverage man cover guy than inside. But he gets it. He can do that because he's got such great length. Long arm guy. Just an outstanding football player, and I think will be a major contributor on special teams.
And Terrence Gainaway, the running back on the other side of the ball, he's doing a nice job for you because he played running back at Baylor. He went out with a bang in the Alamo Bowl. I think he had 200 yards against Washington, right. Five touchdowns. But you guys are asking him to be a hybrid, and he's learning the fullback position as well. So that should only help him here in the future.
Right. And the other thing, too, is he's been really impressive on special teams. So a smart young man, big back. I mean, here's a guy that can complement, you know, Sean Green. Is that kind of style of back? Just a big, powerful man, almost 240 pounds. The fact that, you know, we've had some injury issues at fullback, he jumped right in. So that'll tell you, I mean, he's got the, you know, the mentality. He can pick things up. He jumps right in, never played fullback in his life, and he's taking on guys. And I said, well, what do you think? It's a little different in there, you know, but, you know, he's trying to do the version of John Connor. But he's doing a tremendous job. And again, here's a guy clearly that's going to make your football team. And we'll see how he expands his role in the future.
Yeah, and we're all real excited to see third-round pick DeMario Davis in action. He finally got out PUP. He'll be in pads on Friday. We're going to take a question from Twitter right now. This comes from, oh, you chill, I guess. Is Aaron Maven a starter? Well, Aaron Maven's played well for you early in camp off the 6-sack season last year.
Yeah, he's had several sacks and things. He's certainly earning more reps. There's no question about that. Depends really, you know, is he a starter or not? Not real sure because you don't know what team you're up against. You know, a team that's going to spread you out and want to throw the football, then absolutely. Aaron Maven's one of our top pass rushers, if not our top pass rusher right now. He's showing it in camp every day. Great motor. Reminds me of a young man I had in Baltimore by the name of Michael McCrary, who was a two- or three-time Pro Bowl player. Has that kind of energy, that kind of mentality. It's very hard to find that.
Let's go back to the other side of the ball. You mentioned physical presence on the outside with their wide receivers. The second-round pick of your team, 6'4", 215-pounder, Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech. Give me your take on where he is at right now.
First off, Stephen is way ahead of where I thought personally he would be. Mike Tannenbaum and the scouts thought that he could come in and really, you know, be a early contributor for us. They're exactly right. You know, I thought with his background at Georgia Tech, I mean, you talk about ground and pound now. I mean, you're running the football. You know, he only caught 28 passes, but he did average like 30 yards a catch. It's a young man that's got sub 4.3 speed, been incredible. There was no doubt in my mind he can run past and run by people, and he'll block you. There's no doubt. But the thing that I've really been impressed with is his route running. He hangs on every word that Sanjay Lal is teaching out there. Santonio Holmes is kind of being a, you know, is a great route runner and really helping Stephen as well. So you're really encouraged by him. And clearly right now he stays healthy, then he'll be the starter opposite Holmes.
Yeah, and I love his approach because he doesn't seem intimidated out there. He's going against guys like Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie every day. And you have pulled a little interesting move here using Antonio Cromartie at receiver. Mm-hmm. I know you've done that in the past, but you threw him on a go route the other day, and I'm sure Crow loves the news that, hey, maybe we'll send you out there a couple times.
Yeah, the funny thing is it was actually a comeback route, but he recognized the coverage
and
ran the go route. Absolutely. And so, I mean, he converted it to a go route. So that'll tell you that this is not just going to be a, you know, a, you know, give the guy a bone type thing. No, we are definitely going to use Cromartie. He will have a package for us. He's a weapon. He can run all day. And, you know, so I look at it as I remember seeing him work out in Florida State and calling back to Ozzie Newsome. I'm like, this guy could be a first-round pick as a corner or a receiver, and we're going to use both.
I got to get to two things before mm-hmm. we let you go. Busy man, we thank you so much for joining us today. Green and white scrimmage. There's going to be probably more than 10,000 people here Cortland Saturday night. What are you going to try to get accomplished?
Well, I just love the fact that, you know, we're going to put the ball down and we're going to let them compete, and I think that's the, you know, a great time to watch these guys. The starter's going to play a ton. You know, we got to get ready, and you do that through live contact. Obviously, the quarterbacks won't be live, but everybody else will be, and it's going to, you know, we want to accomplish a lot of things. You want to see your guys compete, and, you know, sometimes the guys that play in this league, especially with the third groups, and you know, you're looking for those guys to step up, and they will. The players will step up in those situations, and you know, and then that guys you might be high on, sometimes the play levels off. So those are the things that we're really looking to see. Can't wait to see all our fans out here. I mean, that's great, and it just energizes the team. We're excited. It's you know, to get out there and compete against each other anyway. Both sides of the ball really having at it. But when the fans are out there, I think it makes a difference as well.
It's going to be a great environment for Jets Nation throughout the world Saturday night, because at the same time the green and white scrimmage is taking place, Curtis Martin will be inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Can you talk about Curtis a little bit?
Oh, I had to try to defend against that guy. He was just a tremendous football player, durable, can do it all. I mean, as he can block, he can run, catch out of the backfield, can run the ball inside, outside, you name it, he could do it. And it was just like when you went against him, it was like, oh, man. You were scared. Anytime he was back there, one back set, whatever, it could be third and forever, you still were very conscious of the fact they may just turn and give Curtis the ball and he'll run for a first down. So, you know, clearly one of the all-time, you know, great backs in the history of this game, rightfully so, going into the Hall of Fame. When I met Curtis off, you know, off the field, he might be as good a guy off the field as he was on it, which is really saying something.
Rex, I've had fun. Thanks so much for joining us. We got to do this again in the near future because Jets Nation wants to hear from you. But good luck the rest of training camp. But like I said, we got to get you back in the studio chair. Jets Nation, thanks for participating. Stay tuned to NewYorkJets.com throughout training camp for all your complete coverage. At NY Jets on Twitter, Facebook.com/Jets. Thanks. We're signing off here from the studio.
Visit ChooseNissan.com. Test drive at your local Nissan dealer today.